إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام، يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المبين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى، أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى، وما عليك ألا يزكى، وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى، كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, sustainer and controller of the universe and all within. Thus we praise him and we thank him for his infinite grace, blessings and mercy that he has bestowed upon us, and we enjoy every moment of our lives. And we also believe in him and put our trust in him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, so that this truth and this guidance will become established in the land over all other religions, although the idolaters detest that. Dear brothers and sisters, surely the most sublime and the greatest human objective and endeavor is worship of the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest result of achieving true worship of Allah the Creator is the bringing about of justice in society. The true measure, brothers and sisters, the true mark, the true valuation of the goodness of any people, any community, any society, the goodness, the true value of the goodness of even the individual, the true mark of whether we are truly civilized or not, is in whether or not people within our community, our society, are treated justly. In particular, those we call the vulnerable, such as children, women, the elderly, people with disabilities, and so on. In this concept, that the true and the most fitting objective of any people, any community, is to strive for justice in the world, in the society, was highlighted in the speech that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave when he was selected and appointed as the Khalifa, a few days after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He stood on the minbar and he gave a short speech. in which he basically outlined not only what he intends to do as the Khalifa, but perhaps more importantly, the guidance, the objective of the guidance that the Prophet ﷺ taught them and trained them to practice. Among the things he said, brothers and sisters, he said, وَالْضَعِيفُ فِيكُمْ قَوِيٌّ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ لَهُ الْحَقِّ. And the one who is viewed as weak among you, in my view, is strong, so that I can take for him his right. I can give him his right. وَالْقَوِيُّ فِيكُمْ ضَعِيفٌ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ مِنْهُ الْحَقِّ. And the one you view as strong among you, in my view, that's the weak one, so that I can take the right that he owes to others from him. And thus, brothers and sisters, the essence of all the sharia that Allah has revealed to his messengers throughout human history, the primary objective of all these legislation or sharia as we call them, was to establish justice in the land and justice among people. Yesterday was earmarked by the UN as the International Day of Recognition for Peoples with Disabilities. And I know that that's just one day in the year, but it's still a small step in the right direction. It is still a small step in the right direction. And as I said, the true measure of how good, how humane, how pious a community and society we are, how righteous a community and society we are, how righteous we are as people and individuals, lies in how we treat those who may be vulnerable. Now, often many people ask, why is it Allah the Exalted did not give us clear statements in the Quran codifying the rights of peoples with disabilities? And the simple answer is, brothers and sisters, is that from day one, the Islamic message, the Islamic way of life, did not see that the people with disabilities are incapable of being full members of society. From day one, it treated them as full members. So there was no need to make special resolutions, to pass special resolutions regarding them. Not that resolutions are bad, by the way. But from day one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us that the people with disabilities, whatever their disability may be, they are full members of society. And this is why no special mention was needed to be made regarding them. And this lesson, this adab, was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to none other than His Messenger, His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the Hijrah. And I know you know the story. When once he had a rare chance to speak with some of the nobles and the leaders of Quraysh, among them people like Ubay ibn Khalaf, Umayya ibn Khalaf, Abu Jahl, and so on. And during this time, when he had their attention, and usually they would not give him any chance to talk with them, so this was a rare occasion, and he wanted to make full use of this opportunity. Logically, of course, this makes a lot of sense. But it is precisely at this moment that Allah the Exalted taught him and taught all of us perhaps the greatest lesson as regards to justice and equality and fairness for all, but in particular for people with disabilities. As he's busy with these leaders, these nobles, a blind man came to him and interrupted him, asking him about Islam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was always a gentle and kind soul. So he did not say a single word to the man, let alone a harsh word. Nevertheless, his annoyance was visible in his face and his body language. He frowned and turned away. And that is exactly how Allah began the surah that we all know in the last juz. Abasa wa tawalla. He frowned and turned away. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, in explaining this hadith, a hadith of Al-Imam al-Bukhari that he related in his Sahih in the tafsir of this surah, he said that the Muslim scholars have agreed that the person who frowned and turned away is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Allah tells us why. أَنْجَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. He frowned and turned away. Why? Because a blind man came to him. A blind man came to him. At the moment when he had the attention of these nobles of Quraysh, and he's probably thinking, look, if I can convince them, then the average people, we will follow. These are the leaders. And you know, it's human nature, brothers and sisters. Unless a person is really humble, usually the people who are considered the elite of society, the powerful, the wealthy, they don't like to mix with the people who are vulnerable, the poor, the weak. And the Prophet alayhi salam was a bit worried that with this man's interruption, he may lose this opportunity to civilly speak with these leaders of Quraysh. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him and taught all of us that just is just, fair is fair, equal is equal. And that even one person, and to boot a person what we consider with a disability, is worth the while. That's the lesson he taught us here. That person, even with a disability, that we see as a barrier to participation in our activities and in society, Allah teaches us that person is worth it. So Allah tells the Prophet alayhi salam, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّ. What will inform you, O Muhammad, that perhaps this is the man who will purify himself from disbelief and from sins? أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ. For he may receive this admonition. This admonition may agitate his heart and his soul. And as a result, this reminder, this admonition will benefit him. أَمَّا مَنْ اِسْتَغْنَى. But as for those who consider themselves independent, powerful, wealthy, the elite of society, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. Those are the people you're going after. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. And there is no burden or sin on you if they do not purify themselves. أَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. But as for the one who comes to you in earnest, in with sincerity and honesty, he wants to know about this because he desires to embrace this good that Allah has revealed. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And he fears. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. That's the one you're turning away from. That's the one you're not paying attention to. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ. Nay, this revelation is a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. So whoever wishes, let them be reminded. The choice is ours. Brothers and sisters, after the revelation of this surah or these ayat to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have any hard feelings for this individual, known as Ibn Ummi Maktoum. Most of us know him as Abdullah Ibn Ummi Maktoum. But Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar also said that some scholars say his name is Amr Ibn Ummi Maktoum. And then he said that it seems like he had two names, Abdullah and Amr. He did not have any hard feelings for this man, nor did he try in any way to get revenge from the man, because he was reprimanded by revelation from Allah for generations and centuries to come. Because we all read the same ayats. In fact, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ learned a lesson. Right away he understood the message that Allah revealed. The lesson that sometimes you and I seem to miss. And from then onwards, he always honored this individual, Ibn Ummi Maktoum. Ibn Hajar mentions in his book, Al-Isaba, Fi Tamyiz al-Sahaba, this is a book he wrote about mentioning who are the Sahaba and who are not. And he said that the scholars of genealogy and history have mentioned that there were 13 times when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left Ibn Ummi Maktoum in charge of Medina when he traveled out. 13 times. A blind man, brothers and sisters. He can't see. But that did not bar the Prophet alayhi salam. That did not cause the Prophet alayhi salam to think, this is a blind man. I can't leave him in charge. I need someone who is capable. The man was capable, despite what we call his disability. So he had no hesitation 13 times, not just once, or two times, or three times, 13 times. He left him in charge in Medina when he had to travel. In addition to that, as Al-Imam al-Bukhari narrates in his Sahih, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding fasting and when you should stop eating and start fasting, he said, do not let the adhan of Bilal stop you from eating and drinking. Bilal used to call the earlier adhan, sort of as an alarm to wake people up and let them know that it's close to Fajr time, they need to do their suhoor. He said alayhi salam, eat and drink until you hear the adhan of Ibn Ummi Maktoum. Eat and drink until you hear the adhan of Ibn Ummi Maktoum. Because he does not call the adhan except at the time of Fajr, when Fajr begins. Now this is an amazing hadith, brothers and sisters. Because the Prophet ﷺ had the man who could see call the early adhan, and the one who was blind and who needed to see when Fajr will break, he had him calling the adhan at Fajr time. What does that tell us? All of us would probably assume, if we had to do it, put the man who can see to call the adhan for Fajr, let the blind man call the earlier adhan. Problem solved. You see, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ did not pass resolutions regarding the rights of the vulnerable in society. He simply practiced it. This is how he lived. He didn't pass resolution after resolution. He did not hold a day of the year in esteem, in honor of such individuals, although that may not be a bad thing. But most importantly, he lived it. So he placed the man who could see, he ordered him to call the early adhan. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, In looking at the wording of the hadith, because one may claim, well, maybe this is a one-time thing. But Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, in analyzing this hadith, he says from the wording of the hadith, the wording implies that this was sort of normal, where Bilal radiyallahu anhu, the one who could see, would call the early adhan before Fajr on a regular basis, not a one-time thing. And Ibn Ummi Maktoum, the blind Sahabi, would on a regular basis call the adhan for Salatul Fajr, telling everybody it's time to stop eating and start your fasting, plus it's time for Salatul Fajr. This is how the Prophet alayhi salam showed us in the most practical way, brothers and sisters, that a disability is not a barrier from fully participating in society and activities. It does not in any way make these brothers and sisters any less capable of being full members of society. The same blind man, Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiyallahu anhu, once when he asked the Prophet alayhi salam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm a blind man. I do not have anybody to lead me to the masjid. Can you permit me to pray my prayers at home? Again, all of us would think this is the rational, logical thing to do. And the Prophet alayhi salam initially told him, it's okay, pray at home. Within moments, he called him back and he asked him, أَتَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءُ, can you hear the adhan? And the man said, yes. And the Prophet alayhi salam said to him, لَا أَجِدُ لَكَ رُخْصَةً, I find no excuse for you. A blind man. Prophet alayhi salam treated him as a full member of society. Obviously, brothers and sisters, in terms of him getting to the masjid, or in terms of him calling the adhan at Fajr time, somebody had to be there to help him out. What's the big deal? This is what the Prophet taught us. What's the big deal? All of us, even those without disabilities, often in our own lives we need help. We need help. You may need to borrow some onions or a few eggs. You may need a boost if you drive your car. We need help, brothers and sisters. The type of help may vary. So some of our brothers and sisters may require particular kind of help. So this blind man, this blind Sahabi, needed someone to tell him it's time, it's Fajr time, call the adhan. But what's the big deal with this? How does that make him in any way incapable of calling the adhan at Fajr time? The fact that he needed some help for someone to bring him to the masjid so he doesn't stumble and trip over objects in his pathway does not in any way affect his ability to participate in salah in the masjid. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us through his own practice that our brothers and sisters with disabilities are full members of our community and society, and the obligation is on us, those who, well, we assume we don't have any disabilities, the burden is on us to offer that help in the areas that they need the help. It may be something as a ramp so that someone in a wheelchair can enter the building, holding programs on the ground floor so people who can't go upstairs have no problems attending programs. Or if you must have a program upstairs, then you have hopefully an elevator that's working. So brothers and sisters, my advice to myself and all of us in terms of what to do, there are three things that I would like to share with you. The first is, go back to these stories of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Salafi Salih that we must have read or have heard from time to time, and read them again. But this time, stop and think about them a little bit. Think about them a little bit. Why let a blind man call the adhan for Fajr?
when you need to see when Fajr breaks? Why appoint him as the manager 13 times of Medina, the whole city? He's blind. There are tons of other people who can see. Many other Sahaba who can see. Why? So we need to read these stories again, but we need to spend some time and we need to think deeply. Why would the Prophet ﷺ do this? When it seems like the rational and logical thing to do is to put the man who can see to call the Fajr Adhan and the one who is blind to call the earlier Adhan. Or to give the blind man permission to pray at home. Because you see, brothers and sisters, if the Prophet had done that, if he had given the blind man permission to Ibn Ummi Maktoum to pray at home, then in a way he would have been confirming this mentality that people have, that yes, people with disabilities, you know what, you can't fully participate in society. You better stay home. So let us read these stories, but think about them. Think about why the Prophet ﷺ did what he did. Perhaps you can come up with a lot more answers than I just gave you. Number two, there are many people. Well, there are some people in our society, in our community, who have various kinds of disabilities. Do we know any such person? And so my challenge, brothers and sisters, is that each one of us should make it an effort sooner rather than later to get to know someone who has a disability. It could be a blind person or a deaf person. I know, with the deaf, it seems challenging to be able to communicate. But to a large extent, communicating with the deaf is very much like acting and showing signs. But the fact that we may find it a bit challenging to communicate effectively should not bar us from interacting with them and from welcoming them and enabling and ensuring that they can fully participate. That's the little help they need from you and I. Just like I may need some help one day, I'm out of some eggs or sugar or a few nails, and I may ask you for these things. So try to get to know someone who has a disability and talk with them about how they're managing. You'll be surprised, brothers and sisters, that these brothers and sisters who have disabilities, they live very full lives. We may think that they're missing out in life, that they can't really enjoy. You can't hear? How can you? But they can participate in life as fully as you and I. And thirdly, brothers and sisters, ask ourselves, after we get to know the person who has a disability, what little can I do to help that individual? Maybe I can't help myself. Maybe I can get somebody else. I can be that agent, that advocate on behalf of this person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May He open our hearts and minds so that we can understand this wonderful message He has revealed for mankind and for the upliftment of mankind. And may He inspire us all to live by this message and to hold firmly to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be among those who recognize and acknowledge the favors and the blessings He has bestowed upon us. May He cause us to be motivated not to be selfish with these blessings, but to share it with others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be among those who lend a helping hand to our brothers and sisters who need that. And may He cause us not to be among those who are simply self-centered and could not care less about anyone else. May Allah protect us all from going astray. May He keep our hearts firm in the straight path. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
الله.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa wa ba'd. Brothers and sisters, as we read about the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Salaf al-Salih, in particular those who had disabilities, in the field of hadith, there are many muhaddithun, great muhaddithun we may not have heard of, who have become famous not by their names, but by the disabilities they had. Al-A'raj, the one who is lame, who has a limp. Muhaddith, great muhaddith, is known by everybody by this defect. Well, we call it defect or disability. Al-A'raj. Al-A'mash, one who has problems with his eyes. Very famous narrator of hadith, very famous muhaddith. Known by most people, not by his name, but by this disability, as we say, Al-A'mash. These people achieve, brothers and sisters. Their disability did not bar them from achieving and from participating. That's the kind of legacy that Islam has left for you and I. What type of legacy or message do we want to leave for those who will come after us? Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik 'ala 'abdika wa rasulika Muhammad wa 'ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa 'anna ma'ahum bi mannika wa rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin وأذل الشرك والكفرة والملحدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين والمجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين وانصرهم على القوم الفاسقين وانصرهم على القوم المجرمين اللهم ربنا لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم المبارك ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مهاجرا إلا آويته ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا يسرتها وقضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات وقوموا إلى صلاتكم